Greetings to all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We are today in lesson 136, and last time we were in Ezekiel, speaking about the uncircumcision of the children of Israel, and the whole house of Israel, in essence, the children of Judah in specific that Ezekiel is speaking to, but God said the whole house of Israel, and then he mentioned all the other nations too, on which he was going to bring calamity, the calamity of war and captivity under the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And, again, the reason was punishment for a way of life. And that's, in essence, what circumcision and uncircumcision portrays, and this is what it conveys. Circumcision means obedience. It means people who serve God. It means that people who are moral. It means that people who are worshiping God and walking in His path and ways. It means that people who are sanctifying themselves and are being sanctified by the law. You see? And In other words, circumcision is not just an act, you know, it's not just a ritual, it's an entirety, it's a philosophy of life, it's a way of life. And anybody who is righteous and walks in kindness and mercy and according to the ways of God is called a circumcised person. Even if his body may not be circumcised. There are a lot of people all around the earth, good people, sincere people, devout people. They may be idolaters too at the same time because they don't know any better. But there are people who are moral, who are kind, who care about their neighbors, who are compassionate and merciful. Well, that's a form of circumcision. In other words, circumcision is not just a physical act. And so when you come to the writings of the disciples, especially the Apostle Paul, anytime he talks about the circumcision, he's talking about the philosophy, the concept, what it really means. Not just the act itself. And so when he talks about the circumcision versus the uncircumcision, he's not talking about the act itself. He's talking about the people who know God, at least should know God and obey God, you know, the people of Judah, in contrast to the Gentiles who didn't know anything. You know, they were idol worshippers and immoral and adulterous and so forth and fornicators. And so he's always contrasting one from the other. But on the other hand, he says that people who are in the circumcision, in other words, the concept of the circumcision, obedience to the law of God, should not think that just because they are physically circumcised, that makes them righteous. Their heart has to be circumcised too. In other words, it shouldn't be just a physical act. And the physical act or the spiritual act, they are spiritual both ways, and they are hidden, and they are secret, and nobody knows. But your actions will tell a person whether you are a circumcised person or not. Your obedience to the law of God. And so that was the concept that the Apostle Paul was conveying to the people of Rome as he was speaking to them, as we read in chapter 2 of the book of Romans. And verse 25, he says, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law, if you are obedient to God, if you serve God, if you walk in the ways of God, if you are being sanctified by the law of God, if you are becoming like God. As God said, 'Be you holy, for I am holy.'" You see, and how? Well, you obey my laws. You don't eat unclean food. You don't become like the Gentiles. You don't eat dead animals. You don't fornicate. You see, and so forth. And so the law of God will determine whether you are circumcised or not. So there is a circumcision that is the act itself, and there is a spiritual circumcision that has to do with obedience to the law. And so this is basically the main theme that Paul is talking about when he mentions circumcision or uncircumcision. So he says that, "For circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision." You see the concept? A person may be circumcised the eighth day, you know, he's of the seed of Abraham, but his behavior is anything but that of an obedient person, and therefore he's really regarded by God as an uncircumcised person. And so for the Jews who thought, well, you Gentiles, okay, you know, we'll grudgingly allow you to come into the body of Jesus Christ, which they knew was the God of Israel, in other words, who will let you come into the commonwealth of Israel and fellowship with us, but you're going to have to go through the physical circumcision. In other words, that became so important to them that they forgot the whole purpose and the whole concept and the whole idea of circumcision and uncircumcision. And that is obedience to God, willingness to serve God, and whatever God says, the will of God. And the Gentiles that Paul was dealing with were in that state of mind. They were willing to obey the law of God. They were going to the synagogue, and a lot of people don't realize that, especially that came, those who came later on from the false church, and to this very day, those who are raised in Protestant and Catholic circles, and all the churches, they don't realize that all those Gentiles were obedient to the law of God. They all went to the synagogue. They continued to go to the synagogue. And that's what James says. Well, Moses is read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. So the Gentiles can go over there, in other words, and learn all about the law of God. But let's not burden them at this point with a physical act of the circumcision. You see, it does not mean they should not be obedient, because if they are disobedient to the law of God, they immediately become uncircumcised. That's automatically. That's the way it works, whether they go through the act itself or not. It's neither here nor there. You see, you have to understand, they were dealing with the spiritual concept of it more than the physical itself, while the Jews were concentrating on the physical act itself. And so Paul is trying to explain to them the importance and the difference between these two, the physical act itself and what is really behind it. And that's what God was after. He was not after only a physical act, because it's neither here nor there. When he gave it to Abraham, it was far beyond that. It was a way of life that he wanted him to walk in, of obedience to God, of serving God, of doing the will of God, of being sanctified by the law of God. You see? Then the physical act was just a symbolic one. Yeah, the Jews put so much importance on it, and especially because of so much history between them and the nations of the earth, where oftentimes you read through the prophets how the others were always called the uncircumcised. But even then, the concept was not just the act itself. You see, whether the male organ is circumcised or not, the concept was always their behavior, their attitudes, their idolatry, their fornications, their immorality. This is what they always, when they talked about the Gentiles being the uncircumcised, that's what they talked about. That's what the prophets talked about. That's what God talked about. But, you know, some people, they go from one extreme to the other, and they take the ritual, and they blow it out of proportion, and that becomes it, the main thing. And they forget the purpose of it. You see? And that was the problem they had to deal with. And so when we study circumcision, we should understand the concept and the philosophy behind it, not just the act itself. And then, if we are obedient to God, well, if God tells us to go through the act itself, it's not a problem. You see? And God didn't think that it was that important in terms of the act itself to tell Abraham, okay, before you cross the land and you come to the land of Canaan, I want you to get circumcised. He allowed Abraham into the land of Canaan, and he was there in his land. Of course, at that time, he didn't sanctify it as his land. It was still the land of the Gentiles, the Canaanites. And so he allowed Abraham into the land without being circumcised. While the children of Israel, later on, 40 years, they were in the wilderness being uncircumcised, as they were born in the wilderness. But as they were about to enter into the land that he was going to sanctify, since he was going to destroy all the nations in it and give it to the land of Israel, he told them, you get circumcised before you enter into the land. And so you see different circumstances there. And so this is what Paul is telling them. He's speaking about the concept. For circumcision, verse 25, is indeed profitable. People, you know, even though later on he saw circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, this is not the main statement. The main statement is what came behind it. But obedience to the law is what counts. And some people forgot that. They just concentrate on the first part of it so they wouldn't have to do it. And you see how the mind of man works. And so he says it is profitable if you keep the law. Why is it profitable? Because it's a seal of your righteousness. You see? In other words, just like the sacrifices. God says, okay, you bring me all the sacrifices, but if your heart is not in it, or you pray to me, but if your heart is not in it, of what value is it? But if it is from the heart, and if it is genuine, then it is of value to him. Then he's pleased with it. And so he's pleased with circumcision. He wanted, you know, people to be circumcised, that is, you know, the male in the family, not obviously the women. but only as symbolic of what is in the heart. And to God, symbols and rituals are extremely important for what they mean, not just by themselves, because by themselves they mean nothing, but because of what they mean. Then they become very important. Then symbolic acts become extremely important because they convey what is in the heart. And that's the way we should regard this, teaching about circumcision, and also what was really the problem in the New Testament about circumcision. It was not the act itself. It's the way of life. And this is what they were dealing with. And so Paul says it is profitable if you keep the law, but if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. And so now a Jew that has been circumcised on the eighth day, if he is disobedient, he is uncircumcised. Well, we're not talking about the act itself, we're talking about the philosophy, the concept, about the heart. And that's what God said about the entirety of the house of Israel. He said they are all uncircumcised. All of them were circumcised in the flesh, yet God said they're all uncircumcised. What is he talking about? He's talking about their ear, he's talking about their eye, he's talking about their heart. You see? They're not willing to see God, they're not willing to listen to God, they're not willing to understand the ways of God and walk in it and obey Him. And so verse 26 says, therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, you see what he was doing, the Gentile? He was keeping the righteous requirements of the law. And some people think, well, the law is only for the Jews, and the apostle said, well, you know, the Gentile is supposed to only avoid, you know, fornication and meat offered to idols, you see, and then they can get away with, you know, with the rest. No. All of them made it very plain. They should always continue to go to the synagogue and learn the law of Moses and walk in it. They're just not going to require them at this point to go with the act itself. But what it symbolizes, they must keep and obey. And so Paul made it very plain, and people who read it conveniently overlook all these statements about obedience to the law. And that all the Gentiles were commanded to obey the law. But the Jews went into the ritualistic concept of it far more than into what it really means, what's really behind it, the obedience from the heart. So they were more interested in the physical rather than the spiritual. And the apostles and Paul were saying, no, the spiritual is more important than the physical. And if they do the spiritual, then the time comes, you know, when they're strong enough to do the physical, then that would be only symbolic, that they are obedient, you see. And that's the main problem with the issue of the circumcision. And the Jews were more mindful of the little things, just like Christ would tell them. Or he told them in Matthew 23, you know, you are so, you know, speaking about the Pharisees, you are so meticulous about the little things, you know, the tithe and the mint and the cumin and this and that and all the kind of little things, and yet you forget the major thing. You omit the bigger thing. You forget the big picture. A lot of people are that way. They're so detailed-oriented that they forget the whole picture. They concentrate so much on a tree that they forget the whole forest. And that was the issue of the circumcision. You see? And we have to understand it properly. And when you do, everything is right. Well, obviously, God requires that you do it, as Christ made it very plain. This you ought to have done. You know, the little things that you do. Yes, you should be mindful of all those things, but not to leave the others undone. And that's a major issue that the apostles are dealing with. The same problem. And that's human nature, oftentimes. You know, picky, little tiny little things. And they don't see the beam that is in their eye or in their heart or in their ear. And they don't deal with it. And circumcision, the physical act, should convey the fact that this person is obedient from the heart. His ear is circumcised, his heart is circumcised, his eye is circumcised to God. In other words, he's walking in the ways of God, in the ways of righteousness. And the physical one is just symbolic of that. But to have one without the other, you see, in other words, to have only the physical without the spiritual is meaningless. And if you do the spiritual, well, the physical one will come too, and it's, you know, it's, it takes its own proper place. It's a symbolism of it, not the main thing. And the Gentiles, unlike the Israelites, who are stiff-necked and constantly rebels, and would not obey the law of God, regardless of how many times God dealt with them, harshly oftentimes, for their wickedness and their immorality and for their lawlessness, they still were not willing to have faith and to obey God. And here the Gentiles are expressing the same attitude as Abraham did. God told Abraham to do something, he did it. He obeyed. And so were the Gentiles. And so God was not putting a pressure on them now at this point to do the symbolic act, because they were already doing what it really means. And that was the concept and the intent to begin with. You see? And it's not that the Apostle Paul was saying, well, forget about circumcision, you know, you don't need to do it. He says, first do that which the symbol, the act itself portrays, what it really symbolizes, and then the little things, you know, will come in due time. Just like they did with Abraham, just like they did with the children of Israel, you know, who were born in the wilderness 40 years later. And for Abraham, 25 years later. And so, this is what Paul is trying to convey to them. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, verse 26, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? In other words, the fact that he's uncircumcised in the flesh, but he's circumcised in the heart and the ear, this is what really counts, and therefore he's called circumcised. As for the physical one, well, as it gets to the point where he can do it, he will do it. Verse 27, and will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, you see, fulfill the law. How do you fulfill the law? By doing away with it? By saying, well, I'm supposed only to avoid meat or flesh that was offered to idols, to avoid drinking blood and to avoid immorality. You know, just a few little things here and there. And then as for the rest, well, the law of God is not for me, it's only for the Jews. You see the big deception that entered into the minds of many? That's what the false church was based on lawlessness, the mystery of iniquity. As Paul would say, you know, the mystery of iniquity does already work. It had totally perverted every teaching that they received or that they heard from the Apostle Paul. He makes it very plain. And will not the physically uncircumcised, that is the Gentile, if he fulfills the law, not if he does not, but if he fulfills the law that the Jews should have from the heart and did not, many times, oftentimes didn't, as they should have. So the Gentile, he says, who is uncircumcised in the flesh, didn't go through the symbolic act. If he fulfills the law, if he keeps the law, if he obeys the law, if he goes to the synagogue and listens to Moses and does what Moses says, in other words, what God says. And what is it, as Moses said to his own people, what is it that God really requires from you? What is the bottom line? You see? That's what he's talking about here. The bottom line is that you serve God, you fear God, you obey His laws and commandments, His statutes and judgments. You do it from the heart. You don't become carnal and an enemy of God. You see, when you rebel against the law of God, you're an enemy of God. And you have a carnal mind that is an enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. God is not interested in people like that. And yet the whole religion was based on that. The law is done away. It's not for us. It's for the Jews. For ancient Israel, it's not for us. You know, we're under grace. And a lot of people to this very day are buying into that should have known better and had known better in the past. And they're going back to their own vomit. And they're becoming Gentiles again, in the heart, in the spirit, uncircumcised. And therefore, even though they appear physically before God, He's not there. He's not listening to them. Because they are uncircumcised. They are unclean, and God is holy, and He's not about to mess around or hang around with unholy people. They may think all they want that they are holy. It's like the children of Israel, when they went into idolatry, they still thought they were worshipping God. And so he makes it very plain. An uncircumcised person fulfills the law. This is what makes him circumcised. So a person like that, he said, if the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who even with your written code of circumcision. You know, that means the letter of the law. You know, you go through the physical acts and all the other little acts that you go through, and yet you transgress the law. You see? That's the issue. The issue was not necessarily circumcision itself, the act. You know, people go to Book of Acts chapter 15, they call it the circumcision chapter. It wasn't. You see? The bottom line of that was obedience to the law of God or disobedience to the law of God. And the Gentiles were willing to obey the law of God, were willing to fulfill the law, and therefore God was graceful with them just like He was with Abraham and the children of Israel until the time came when He said, well, now you go through the physical one as it is, people are obedient to the law of God, and do not play games with it, and don't say, well, that's not for me, and this is not for me, and this is not for me, I'm spiritual, they will ultimately do it anyway. And when God moves them to do it, you see, and that's the way it goes for every single one of us. If we are uncircumcised in the flesh, when God moves us to do it, that's something between us and God. It's not something that somebody else has to tell you that. It's not my business to tell anybody, you know, go get circumcised. It's not my business. You see, it was never a business of man. But when God says you do it, you do it. When God told Abraham in person, He did it. When God told Israel through Joshua, you go do it, they did it. You see? And yet the Jews wanted to be the one, you know, the agent of God to say, okay, let me, you know, check you up. You know, are you circumcised? No, get out of here. And that's not the way God functioned, you see. And they, in other words, they had never understood what circumcision was all about. And that was the problem with them. And so He said, well, not the physically uncircumcised. If you fulfill the law, judge you, who even with your written code of circumcision, you know, they had special ceremony in the way they did in a certain way. And they wanted the, you know, the Gentiles to do it exactly in the same manner. And so the do's and don'ts, you know, superseded the law of God itself. And worse than that, it superseded the intent of the law itself, the law of circumcision. And so it became meaningless. And so He said, you know, yeah, you've got your written code of circumcision. Yes, you go through the act and everything that is around it and all the things that you are allowed not to do because you are circumcised and things you are not allowed to because you are not, and so forth, and yet you are a transgressor of the law. So of what value is it? That's why He says, verse 28, for he is not a Jew who is one outwardly. You see? And outwardly, you know, is a physical act. So you go through the physical act, but inwardly, that means your heart and your ear are not circumcised. So of what value is it? So when Christ said salvation is of the Jews, He's speaking about the circumcised Jews in the heart, in the ear, you see, in the eye, and also in the flesh. And some people take it the other way around. God is not mocked. And so He's not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But He is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision, which means obedience to the law, fulfilling the law, not saying it's not done, it's not for me, it's done away with. You see, you can never get away with that. And people to this very day had tremendous resentment against the law of God, and that includes an awful lot of the people that call themselves the people of God. They are in the churches of God. As soon as they talk about the law of God, they don't want to hear you. Why? Because they're uncircumcised in the heart and in the ear. You see, and their eyes roving somewhere else to other gods that would tell them, well, no, get away, you know, with murder, do whatever you want, I'll give you grace. It doesn't work that way. And so He says, you're not a Jew, or he's not a Jew who is one outwardly, you know, just go through the physical ceremonies, you know, well, I tithe, I go to church, you know, I do this and I do that. That makes me a follower of Christ. No, it doesn't make you a follower of Christ. What goes inside is what makes you that, and then the outside is also important. Both of them. Not just one without the other. There's no separation between the two. There's no separation between the Spirit and the letter. As long as we are flesh, the letter is there. And since the Spirit is in us, we must be also spiritual. Both. Not one against the other. There's no law versus grace. You know, this is a Catholic doctrine. This is the doctrine of the mystery of iniquity. It's a Protestant doctrine. It's not a biblical one. Biblical is both spiritual and physical. And so it goes for circumcision. And as it is, only for the man, you know, the woman doesn't go through that. And yet, if the woman is disobedient to the law of God, she too is called uncircumcised. You see? It's a concept that you have to understand. And so he said, he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew, or he is a servant of God, or he is like Abraham, who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter. In other words, what he's saying, the ultimate purpose of circumcision is that it would be in the heart. He's not doing away with the letter. You see? And when people don't understand the law of God in its entirety and how they ought to fulfill the law of God, you know, they get mixed up when they read the writings of the Apostle Paul. And so they come up with their own doctrines. And Paul did away with the law. But he said, we are under grace. Men shall live by faith alone, and so forth. And Paul, you know, Peter would address this issue, saying what people who were deceived people, rebellious people, not genuine people, what they were doing with the teachings of the Apostle Paul. He says, yes, they are hard to be understood. In other words, if you are not a Jew, if you have not been raised on the law of God, if you don't know the whole picture, those things are hard to be understood. But not if you are. And so he says, those people are unlearned. And because they are unlearned, and to begin with, they are disobedient to the law, to begin with, they are uncircumcised in the heart and in their ear, they want to find every avenue to do away with the law of God. And they will twist everything that they read in the Bible to their own advantage. And yet, Peter said it is to their own destruction, not to their own advantage. And so, he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. In other words, this is what really counts. And the letter is just symbolic of the spirit. And whose praise is not from men, but from God. You see? God will praise you if you are circumcised in the flesh and in the heart. But if you are circumcised in the heart, in the flesh, but not in the heart, God would not praise you. But if you are circumcised in the heart and not in the flesh, God will praise you. And then as you grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and you read the entirety of the scriptures, and you see how important it is to God, and God leads you to that point where you are strong enough to do it, strong in the faith, strong in understanding, you see, then the Spirit of God would move you to do it. Proceed also with the flesh, just like He did with Abraham, just like He did with the children of Israel. And that's the way it goes. And so in chapter 3, verse 1, he says, well, what advantage then has the Jew? Well, the circumcised one, you know, the physical one. Or what is the profit of circumcision? People say, well, there is no profit in it because Paul said in other places, well, circumcision is nothing. And they concentrate on that. Well, Paul, you know, when he says that, you have to understand what he's talking about. It's nothing if you do not obey the law of God. But otherwise, he says, there is a profit in circumcision. And so he says very plainly, what advantage then has the Jew? What is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. You see? And the Gentile mind and the uncircumcised heart and the rebellious spirit, you see, they forget about these statements of Paul. They just want to say, well, Paul said, you know, circumcision is nothing, I don't need to. You see? And for that matter, God says, the keeping of the Sabbath means nothing to me if your heart is not in it. For that matter, God says, you know, obeying many of my laws are meaningless if you just do it, you know, just routinely, your heart is not in it. And your offerings and sacrifices and your praise and your prayer don't mean anything to me if you don't do it from the heart. And the uncircumcised spirit, you know, mind and heart will come and say, oh, God says, you know, I don't have to keep the Sabbath because it doesn't mean anything to Him, or holidays, or offer sacrifices, or so this or that or the other thing. You see, and they take advantage of that because they want to hear only what they want to hear. That's what people do. And yet the prophets of God and God and His servants and the apostles always made it very plain, you know, you don't get away with that. So they always came around, even though they made statements that seemed to be leading you to believe that you don't have to do this and you don't have to do that. They always came around to explain to those who go in that direction, not in the carnal mind. And that's the one he's addressing. What advantage then has the Jew? Well, what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly, because to them, not to us, He didn't say not to us. He said to them. We're committed to the oracles of God. You see, the teachings of God that Paul said, made very plainly in verse 26 of chapter 2. If the uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law. You see, in verse 27, if he fulfills the law. These are the oracles he's talking about. You see, you can never get away with that. You can never say the law is done away with. If you are, you're a liar. And you're intentionally a liar. If you read the scriptures, you can see it very plainly. And so, you willfully prevent this information from entering into your mind and you are not honest about it. And God has no place for such people. Because they're uncircumcised in the ear and uncircumcised in the heart. And so it says, those who fulfill the righteous man, you know, the requirements of the law has many requirements, they have the advantage, much in every way. Because the oracles now are committed also to the Gentiles. When the Gentiles are willing to obey the law and walk in it, then they are committed to them too, to keep and to obey and to fulfill the requirements and the righteousness. And they do not remain only now the inheritance only of the people of Israel, but now they are given also to all those that God calls and grafts into Israel. But it will be given to them only if they obey it, not if they do away with it. And so it says, for what if some did not believe? You see? So some of them who are circumcised did not believe, you know. You know, you don't use it as an excuse, because they didn't, well, I don't have to do either. And many people, since that time, children of the mystery of iniquity, children of Babylon, and to this very day, you see them everywhere. They come to services. They pretend to be a people of God. And they've got all those excuses and reasons why the law of God is done away with. And they read the writings of the Apostle Paul. And they twist them to their own destruction, being unlearned, when the statements are very plain. You have to keep the requirement, the righteous requirements of the law. You have to fulfill the law. You see? You can get away with that. That's what circumcision is all about. And that's why we're spending time discussing it. So people wouldn't think that, you know, it's just a physical act, you know, as the Jews presented it. That is the most important, or else you don't come into my presence, or the presence of God, or either Passover, and this and that and the other thing. Paul never did away with the law. He always obedient, as he said, to the end of his life. And he was proud of the fact that he was. He said, I am a Pharisee, a son of a Pharisee. In other words, I keep the law very meticulously. Never did away with that. And some people think that being a Pharisee is a horrible thing to be. Well, Paul was a Pharisee. And he was proud of it. And he admitted that. And he wasn't lying about it. You see, there's so much ignorance on the part of so many people. I always like to accuse people, oh, you're a Pharisaic. You see, the poison that is in the heart and the mind of many, not even understanding what Christ was talking about when he was condemning the Pharisee. He wasn't condemning the Pharisee, he was condemning the hypocrisy of the Pharisee. And you do not take one and the other and make them one. No more than you throw away the baby with the bathwater. You know, get rid of the dirty water, but keep the baby. That's the tendency of human beings, to go from one extreme to the other, showing their ignorance and their blindness and their hypocrisy and bigotry at the same time. Let's go now to 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19, where Paul also mentions something about it. Actually, he'd done it so many times throughout his writings, and I don't necessarily want to go through everything here. We don't need to cover everything. That should be enough. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 19, he's again dealing with this concept. And this is what the so-called, the people that call themselves Christians, that like to follow, you know, the false concepts of the false church, of the mystery of iniquity, that basically is based on the foundation of lawlessness. The law is done away with. We're under grace. And the people in our midst who like to say that, well, we're a New Testament church. You know, we're not an Old Testament church. We're not under those laws. They're not for us. We're a New Testament church. They don't even know what they're talking about. Blind people. You know, ignorant, bigoted, you know, biased and prejudiced, you know, against the law of God, against God. They are enemies of God. Because that's what Paul says. If you're not subject to the law of God, if you do not obey the law of God, if you do not fulfill the right requirement, you know, the righteous requirement of God, you are an enemy of God. And to say that you are under grace, that you, you know, you live by faith, that you are a New Testament church, well, you'll be one of those people that will come to Christ and say, Lord, Lord, open the door, and he will say, I don't even know you, because you are lawless. Well, you want to be in this category, continuing in the way that you are, you know, justify yourself. And so Paul is addressing again here this issue, and let's actually start from verse 18. He said, was anyone called while circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. What is he talking about? You know, you're circumcised one day, and the next day you wake up, you're not circumcised? Well, he's not talking about the act. Again, as I mentioned earlier, he's talking about the concept, he's talking about the philosophy, he's talking about the way of life. You see? If you were born into circumcision, if you're circumcised physically, which is symbolic of the fact that from now on you're going to be a part of the faith of Abraham, therefore obedient to the faith of Abraham, and if you've been called in that way, continue to walk in the faith of Abraham and be obedient to the law, as Abraham was, and have the same spirit and have the same attitude. That's what he's talking about. He's not talking about somebody else, you know, who was circumcised and now is, you know, going through an operation and getting uncircumcised. He's talking about the concept, and people who read it don't comprehend it. And so it says, if anyone called while circumcised, let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while uncircumcised? In other words, not obedient to the faith of Abraham, and therefore also never entered into the faith with the symbolic act of the physical ritual, you know, when he was 8 days old. You see? So if anyone was called while uncircumcised in that state, let him not be circumcised. In other words, it does not mean that you do not obey the law of God. You continue to walk now in the faith of Abraham that has been revealed to you, and you walk in it, and in that way you are circumcised. But many of the other things that were related to the physical act itself, including the physical act itself, he says that's not a requirement at this point. You see, but when you grow in grace and knowledge and understanding, and you come to understand the importance of it from the point of view of God, and how symbolic things and physical acts are also important to Him, well, then that's between you and God. And at this point, that's all He's dealing with. And some people use that, you know, as an excuse. Well, you know, I don't need to do it because Paul said I don't need to do it. You know, I was called in uncircumcision, I should remain that way. Well, and how are I going to appear before God, as it said, no uncircumcised in the flesh or in the spirit shall come before me in the temple. We're not talking about people who are going to be spirit beings. That's not an issue anymore. You see, we're talking about people who are in the flesh. So in verse 19, it says, circumcision is nothing. In other words, if you do not obey the law of God, it's nothing. And uncircumcision is nothing. In other words, if you are uncircumcised, but you are circumcised in the spirit, you see, it's not the physical act that counts. So you have to understand his terminology. In other words, if you do not have the background of the Apostle Paul, if you do not have the background of the entirety of the law, all the teachings, all that God said through the prophets, you would not understand what Paul is talking about. You see, when Paul speaks, all this background is there, along with it. And if you don't have it, you just don't get what he's saying. And that's the problem with the majority of people who study the Bible, when they go directly to the New Testament. You don't know what they're talking about. You have no background. You know, just like you go into a movie, you go into the end, and you think that you understand everything they say, and you don't. You don't know what every statement means, what every scene means that you see, because you haven't seen it from the beginning. And you misinterpret everything, and that's what people do. That's how many religions came about, and still in our midst. The reason why we're splitting and resplitting and all those things is because of ignorance on the part of many. And so it says, circumcision is nothing. That is, if you are disobedient to the law. And uncircumcision is nothing. That is, if you are obedient to the law, the physical act itself is not really what counts. It doesn't say, it doesn't mean you don't have to do it. What it says is, if you are obedient to the law of God, and your heart and your ear are circumcised, the physical things will come too, in due time. But they're not really the ones that count. That's what he's saying here. So he says, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but keeping the commandments of God is what matters. And the command of God was from the beginning to Father Abraham, circumcise. You see? So ultimately, you still end up with it. It's just a matter of emphasis. What do you put the emphasis on, the physical or on the spiritual? What was the purpose of the physical to begin with? To lead to the spiritual. As Paul later on will say to the evangelist Timothy. He said, from a child, you see, from the day that you were circumcised, you know, as you were older, then your parents began to teach you the Torah of God, you know, the faith of Abraham, the law of God, the commandments. He said, from a child, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which were able to make you wise unto salvation by faith through Jesus Christ. You see, the circumcision began the process of teaching the law, which gradually, as a person walked in it and obeyed it, it became a part of him, and he began to circumcise his heart by obedience to the law, and then God gives the Holy Spirit now to circumcise the heart from within by the Spirit of the law, not just by the letter of the law. First it's done by the letter of the law, and then by the Spirit of the law, and then you come, you know, through that faith, through Jesus Christ, you know, that faith that He's planted in you. You see, the whole process. That's why He's saying, circumcision without this process means nothing. And uncircumcision, if you are already obedient in all those things, then the physical act itself is not really what counts. What really counts is at the bottom line. In other words, the issue is not are you or aren't you, physically speaking. The issue is, do you keep the commandments of God? If you do, you'll end up doing that too, also, when the time comes, just like anything else. You know, when our ear is opened, when our eyes are opened, then we obey commandments that before that we did not understand. But at least we are willing. We have circumcised ear and heart. It's just a matter of time. And many things are a matter of time. When our senses are discerned, when there is wisdom, when God works with us, when we are led by the Spirit, it would lead us to everything. And the details that we have missed in the past, that God says, okay, I know, I can wait. I'll let you live by grace. You see? But when the time comes and your eyes are open and I open my eyes, you better do it. You see? And if you don't understand it from this point of view, you don't understand what the whole issue of circumcision is all about and why God gave it to Abraham and the intent of it. So the concept should always be understood properly from this point of view. And then with this in mind, we can go back and see what is the problem and what was the problem with the children of Israel. And all of them came out of Egypt. All of them were circumcised. And yet, they were uncircumcised in their heart. God gives them the law. He speaks to them from Mount Sinai. What do? Immediately after that, they build the golden calf. They begin to worship idols. In other words, they were uncircumcised in their heart. And this is what God wanted them to do. You see, they forgot the intent of the physical one. And so they went into idolatry, into rebellion, into fornication. And Moses had to go up because he was angry and he broke the tablets that God gave him. And then he went up again and God wrote it again. And this time he had to make it himself. In other words, God said, I'm not about to make it again. You know, you broke it, you make him. And then when he came down, after he was again with God for 40 days, we read in chapter 34 of Exodus, and verse 29, he came down with the Ten Commandments. And verse 28, we read, so he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. In other words, he was sustained by the power of God, the Spirit of God. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. That is, God was the one rewriting it again. Verse 29, now it was so, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hand, when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. One guy, we're going to explain now the spiritual concept of the circumcision, the act itself, and why is it on the male organ and not any other place. And here, you'll have the clue for it. And so, it says in verse 30, so when Aaron and all the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. Then Moses, verse 31, called to them, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned to him. You know, they were afraid. Why would they be afraid, you know? They were afraid of God when he spoke to them. Why would they be afraid, you know? If your heart is circumcised, you're not afraid to come before God. You have nothing to hide. You see? In other words, when you walk in the light, you are not afraid of the light. But when you walk in darkness, you are afraid of the light, and so you go into hiding. And that's where the problem is, you see. That's what the concept is all about. And so he called them, and they came back to him. In verse 32, afterward, all the children of Israel came near, and he gave them as commandments all the law, all that the Lord has spoken with him on Mount Sinai. And then verse 33, and when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil on his face. But whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would take the veil off until he came out, and he would come, and he would come out and speak to the children of Israel, whatever he had commanded him. And so, this is what happened in verse 35, and whenever the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone, then Moses would put the veil on his face again until he went in to speak with them. Well, since we've come here to the end of the tape, we'll have to stop here and continue next time. This is again Mordecai Joseph saying greetings to all of God's people.